Alrighty, we are set and ready to roll. You are at the right place at the right time. Welcome to the new year, and you are at the Media Bids Power Hour. This is our opportunity 202 times every single month going back since 1995 that we have hosted an educational program. Myself and Jed and our team here at Power Hour and Media Bids love providing news, trends, tools, and strategies that you can deploy absolutely immediately. Please, as you're getting settled in, we encourage you to find a quiet spot, close your office door, do whatever it takes to truly be able to focus on what we're going to be sharing here. You'll notice that there are three key points that we sent to you, and that's it. What we want you to do, though, is make notes as you're listening to our program. It requires you to be an active listener. Based on all the research, if we were to put something on a screen, we would lose you to either multitasking or to being distracted. That's not our goal. This is the coach approach, and in that coaching model, we want to transfer the knowledge to you. So the more notes you take, the more that you will get and glean from this. In addition, during the course of the program, there is, of course, the opportunity to pose any questions that you have. Please just send those to Ernest@powerhour.com or simply hit a reply to the reminder and confirmation that brought you here. With me today is Jed, who is the CEO and the president and the founder of Media Bids. And Jed is going to share a little bit about Media Bids and the wonderful success and the work that they're doing with publishing companies, publications, and advertising teams. And then I'm going to say a few words about Power Hour, and then we're going to dive right into our program today, which is titled 2013 Advertising Revenue Forecast. So, Jed, how about some opening words, man?
All right, thank you. Thanks to everyone for joining us today. Thanks, Ernest, who really is one of the more knowledgeable people I know in the print industry. He does a great job with these teleseminars, and I encourage you to review if you haven't heard some of the topics he's touched on in the past. Take an hour here or there and review some of the topics that he's done, because they're really filled with some great suggestions and some ways to improve your effectiveness as a leader and also the effectiveness of your organization and ultimately your sales. My name is Jed Gould. As Ernest mentioned, I'm the president of Media Bids. I was involved in starting the company about 14 years ago, and I owned a small group of weekly newspapers prior to that, so I've walked in your shoes. Media Bids is entirely focused on driving more print revenue to publications. We work with about 14,000 publications and about 20,000 advertisers, and we have a variety of different ways that we drive more revenue to publications, conventional and unconventional ad sales, and we would love to talk to you more about what we do. Let us know if you're currently using us and would like to use us more, or if you're interested and would like to find out more. There's no cost to use Media Bids, and we'd love to sort of explain to you what we do. You know, again, thanks to everyone for joining us, and thanks to Ernest.
It's absolutely a pleasure, Jed, and knowing the ins and outs of Media Bids and the work that you do with advertising groups and the driving of revenue for publications, websites, newsletters, and bringing all of that revenue back in. As you say, there is no cost to work together with Media Bids for all of you. We encourage you to work with Jed and work with their team, and you will be more than delighted. The part I love about Jed is that he does business the old-fashioned way. He says what he does, he delivers on what he promises, and everything is there for you. He's just old-fashioned, sort of this is the way that we roll around our company, and I love that about Jed. So my name is Ernest Orienti. My company is Power Hour. We work with publishing groups and advertising sales teams of all kinds in 11 time zones around the world. We work by phone on a weekly basis and by email. In addition, we have a very specific selling and sales strategy, 17 specific strategies. We have more than 8 pages of various topics that we work with our clients on. And in fact, Jed, so excited to share that related to all of the topics and all the work that we've done over all the years with our clients, we now are providing a weekly Power Hour Sales Academy. I know I've shared this with you. Every Thursday, our clients get about a 15-minute audio sales newsletter about a specific topic. So, for example, this past week we've been working on 4 of the 16 steps to a great sales presentation. Last week we worked on the power of e-newsletters. The week before we worked on how to leverage LinkedIn. So every single week we have a variety of topics with our Sales Academy. And those who are a member listen to the audio file on Thursday or Friday or Monday. And then on Tuesday they come and work with myself and Craig, who is our VP of Sales and Training. The two of us combine almost 50 years, Jed, of experience in media and advertising sales, and it's open mic. So all of our members have already listened to the audio portion, and now we field their questions. Sometimes we're there for 20 minutes, sometimes we're there for 40 minutes, depending on the depth of the questions, and we get everybody back into their sales world. So we're very excited to share that. Related to LinkedIn, just to come around the bend, we were one of the first 500 members. Today we have almost 58,000 members in 19 groups. That's a footprint of 21 million. If you are using LinkedIn and you understand what's happening, we provide accelerated and advanced strategies. If, on the other side, you don't have an understanding of LinkedIn and you want to understand what it means, please come join our weekly Sales Academy. Please come work with us, and we will show you. It is the single best-selling and marketing opportunity we have seen in our lifetime. We've been around media, myself and Craig, going back to the 80s. We have never seen anything like it. So please be in touch with us and let us know, and we will tell you more about that. Let's dive right in here. We are going to, this is our 202nd educational program, going all the way back to 1995. 202 is a pretty good bowling score, Jed, and today we're going to be talking about 2013 advertising revenue forecast. There are three key points that we promised to share. So let's talk first off what happened last year and what is predicted to happen in 2013. Give us that big picture of what we should be looking for.
Okay, first I just want to mention before we get into some numbers here that we're probably doing a teleseminar like this a month or two early. You know, a lot of the numbers that that we're going to use today are based on real numbers through Q3, through the third quarter of 2012, but we're a little early for finalized numbers for the fourth quarter of 2012. So take that into account. You know, we tried to gather information from as many sources as we could, and sometimes there's some variation there. So you may see numbers that don't jive exactly with numbers you see other places, but I think the overall trends and overall themes are accurate,
right,
even
perfect.
If the exact numbers don't end up being exactly right when the fourth quarter comes in. All right, so in 2012, you know, I thought that, you know, the sort of the best way to break this down was to just sort of go through different growth patterns and the sort of total revenue numbers for a variety of different industries that newspapers and magazines all, you know, compete with on some level and are compared to on some level, and just sort of see the way that things are developing and trends that are out there. So in 2012, digital media grew by 14.4%. Online video was also way up, 15%. Mobile advertising was up 50%. Banner ads grew only slightly, 1.5%. So those are all sort of what we would think of as kind of the new media, online, digital advertising sources. And as you can see, they're all substantially up. Television had a strange year because of the election and also the Olympics. It was way up. Traditionally, it has been a little bit flatter than that. Radio was up by about 0.5%. Magazines were down by 6.8%. Newspapers were down by 6.5%. One interesting stat which really sort of surprised me was that in the first half of 2012, Google brought in more advertising revenue than all newspapers and magazines combined. Google generated about $20.8 billion, and newspapers and magazines generated, in total, about $19.2 billion.
Okay, let's just pause here. So you said digital up 14, video up 15. Mobile up 50%, certainly an eyebrow raiser. Banner up 1%, so about flat. Radio about flat, 0.5. Magazine, newspaper down 6%.
Yep.
Overall, Google, $20 billion rolled in almost exactly what newspapers and magazines did. I mean, all this is for all of you to listen to is this is just the broad lay of the land of what we saw and what we're seeing as we're taking a look at those stats. You did mention, by the way, that TV was up significantly, and you're right, with the election year and also the Olympics. No doubt those were really, two really big events sort of converging at the same time. You know what I'm saying?
Right. And the sort of non-political, non-Olympic number would have been pretty flat. There were about $600 million worth of political ads on TV in the third quarter alone of 2012.
Okay, so as we're just rolling through, our goal here today is just to give you the high spots of what we saw from last year. And really, as we roll through the course of this program, it's not going to be a mind-bender number cruncher because, you know, frankly, the numbers don't give us the tools, the strategies, and the resources to go forward. So, Jed, is there anything else that we want to cover related to the stats or any other observation that you found surprising?
Well, you know, I think we can get into magazines and newspapers specifically a little bit more.
Sure.
The picture for newspapers and magazines over the past 5 years hasn't been great. But I think it's probably worthwhile to sort of put these numbers out there just to sort of, you know, see what can potentially be done about it. For example, with magazines, the Publishers Information Bureau, which tracks total ad pages, shows that the total number of ad pages in magazines fell 8.6% in the first three quarters of 2012 compared to the same time period in 2011. The overall number of ad pages from, you know, going back, for example, 6 years, the overall number of ad pages in magazines, and this takes into account national magazines primarily, is down about almost 40%.
And just to insert something there, I mean, let's go back. Where were we in 2006? We were in a roaring economy, probably almost, what was Greenspan's word, overly exuberant, right? It was the big rise before the crash that happened, in the summer of 2008? So, you know, we want to put that in perspective, and let's agree that, you know, you roll the clock back that many years to 2006, clearly the web was not what it is today. Let's go to the other side, our opportunity with our publications, our ability to drive revenue across e-newsletters, website advertising, other kinds of sponsorships, all kinds of other opportunities still remain out there for those of us on that advertising sales and that advertising medium point of view. Okay, so I just want to frame that, Jed, as we're kind of rolling through that number.
Yeah, you're right. It's pretty easy to sort of hear some of these numbers and get discouraged, and that isn't the goal of this. Goal of this is to sort of, you know, see where we are and then offer some suggestions of what can be done about it.
Mm-hmm.
Newspapers are in the same boat. Revenues in U.S. newspapers have declined every year since 2006. In 2005, total revenues were about $49 billion. In 2011, for which the sort of the last final year where we have all four quarters, it was $24 billion. So it's been, you know, it's been cut in half in the last 6 years. Again, estimates are that the total U.S. ad revenues will be about $22 billion when all is said and done in 2012, and the prediction is that will fall to about 20 billion in 2013. So the prediction is that the trends are going to continue. Now, I have read some predictions that are saying that, you know, especially local advertisers will see local newspapers, excuse me, will see an increase in 2013, but it's pretty small. So the difference between the organizations that are predicting a slight increase versus this is, you know, statistically speaking, you know, a pretty small difference. So, you know, that's sort of where newspapers stand. Magazines, I mean, you know, in 2000, you want to talk about the projections for 2013 for a second, for across all the industries?
Sure, that would be great. And I was also thinking just in general related to, look at the news with the counterpoint is look at the news with Buffett, right? You know, who stepped in and bought, what was about 120, 140, sort of smaller and suburban kinds of publications. And I thought that was also a positive trend, him being a contrarian and him saying, look, you know, news will still be read and here's selectively how we're going to go about it, and here's what our approach is. I thought that was also an interesting trend this last year. Do you remember that story?
Yeah, of course. And it, mm-hmm. There should be no confusion here. I mean, what we're talking about are total industry revenue numbers. This doesn't mean that there's no one making money. It just means that there's less money being spent on the industry as a whole. So,
yeah, absolutely, and. What you're listening to is Jed and I are, you know, bantering about this and, you know, looking at this. We realize that in any sector where there are challenges, there are also opportunities. And what we want you to hear from us is a very balanced approach about what we see and what we're observing and the kinds of trends, that we're tracking as well, you know, big picture. Clearly what we want to do, though, is, you know, today share with you the trends that are here, and then really dive in and start to talk about, you know, what else those trends mean and what other strategies that we want to share with you that will help you win as well. So, Jed, where to next given that piece?
Okay, so just real quickly, we touched on a little bit. In 2013, the trends are essentially expected to continue. You know, magazine and newspaper are projected to be down. Radio is projected to be essentially flat. Television is expected to go down off of its big year. Expected to be down about 2%. And the big growth industries are, you know, digital and mobile. You know, digital advertising expected to grow by about 14%, and mobile by another 50%. Which made me think, in doing this, you know, we should take a look at the digital revenue for traditional media. What newspapers and magazines are doing for as well as radio and television are doing for digital, because that's been a big push along these lines. In 2012, the total online advertising revenues for newspapers came to about $2.4 billion. That is up about 2.4% over 2011, according to the Newspaper Association of America. So there's some growth there, online. It's different than the actual, print product. Revenue for newspapers and magazines, the digital portion of it has grown quite a bit. It's now up to about 14%. In 2012 was 14.9%, which means that newspapers and magazines are making, you know, almost 15% of their total revenue is coming from their online properties. Which I think is a positive step. The audience has grown online for newspapers and magazines. It's grown by about 50% since 2008. You know, it's been a challenge to take that larger audience and turn it into as fast, you know, to take that growth in online audience and turn it into equally as fast a revenue growth percentage. So revenues have grown by about 5%, you know, year over year over the past few years, whereas the audience has grown by about 50%.
And Jed, as you were talking about the digital opportunities and the mobile opportunities, I mean, this is also a reminder for all of us that there are digital advertising opportunities for us to provide for our advertisers. Our sites need to be mobile enhanced and available. There's all kinds of things that we need to be doing in order to stay in step with what is happening. Those groups and those organizations that are staying current and out in front are doing exceedingly well. Those who are not are having a more difficult time. We surmise that you're here because you're a leader. Either A, because your company and your team is already doing that and you want to accelerate more, or the opposite, which means you don't have all the tools and you're listening as we're rolling along here and you want to know what those tools, resources, and strategies are and all of our programs. You can go all the way back to 2006 on the MediaBid site, hour after hour after hour, are always filled with strategies that you can use, deploy, and garnish more advertising and be able to take more ads from your direct competitors. So, Jed, where to? Circling back to the stats, is there anything else to cover on point number one before we start in on point number two and start to talk about what we can learn from these trends?
You know, we could spend a lot of time on numbers, and it's probably not the perfect forum to do that. So we should move on, and we can circle back to numbers if we need to.
Absolutely. And for any of you that would like any of the stats and the data, there's plenty of them behind the scenes. And Jed has done a wonderful job. Just please let us know by email, and we'd be more than happy to share those with you. So point number two that we said we were going to cover of the 3 points, we said that we were going to talk about what can we learn from the trends and numbers related to consumer habits and advertising revenues, and what does it mean going into this year? And then from the perspective, Jed, of the advertiser, what are the pros and cons of each medium, and what does that look like as we go forward here? So let's dive into point number two, if we could.
Sure. You know, I think that this is a really important point. And you know, speaking for myself, I think it might be, you know, the most important issue for newspapers and magazines to tackle if they want to succeed and compete in the long term with other mediums. And if you look at how mediums are sold, there's a stark difference between what the selling proposition is to advertisers across mediums. Newspapers and magazines, really all print publications, sell space. They're, you know, an advertiser's buying real estate, and that's really where the publication's responsibilities end. They place the ad in their pages. The ad appears, and that's the end of it. If the advertiser spends $1,000, for example, they receive that space. They pay more or less the same price as every other advertiser. It's the advertiser's job to determine whether or not that ad worked. That's how newspapers and magazines primarily do it today. That's how newspapers and magazines did it 100 years ago. Television and radio are very similar. They sell time. So if an advertiser is spending $1,000, they're getting a set amount of airtime. Again, you know, the expectation is that they're paying about the same price as everyone else, regardless of industry. It's the advertiser's job to figure out if the ad worked. And that's where television and radio sort of, you know, leave it. You know, once they've provided that time, or they are no longer involved in the transaction. The three mediums we just talked about, radio, television, and print, are also the mediums that have been suffering the most. And I don't think it's any coincidence that they're the three mediums that are selling fixed price goods. And they're selling a a tangible item. You know, they're selling space or time. However, you know, increasingly, if these stats that we talked about for digital tell us anything, advertisers increasingly don't want to buy space or time. They don't want to buy exposure. They want to buy results. They want customers. They want their marketing to directly impact their sales. And if you look at how most of these digital offerings are sold, you can see that there's a pretty dramatic difference. Advertisers, you know, online in most cases, and they're, you know, saying online is sort of a big generalization, but, you know, if you talk about pay-per-click, if you talk about, you know, a lot of the response-based advertising online, which drives the majority of the revenue, advertisers are paying for an action. They're paying for a lead or a click. The results that are received are definable. They're measurable. So in the case of someone spending $1,000 on Google or Yahoo, for example, in their pay-per-click programs, the advertiser knows exactly what they're getting. They're getting clicks. They're getting what they can sort of define as potential customers. And the price is fluctuating. The price is based on demand. You know, in some categories that have lesser demand, the price may be very, very low. A click may cost, you know, as low as, you know, a dollar. In other categories with higher demand, the click is much, much higher. There's some categories where like, for example, insurance, where a click can cost as much as $60 or $70, you know, per click. You know, just because someone's clicking doesn't mean they're turning into a customer. But from the advertiser's perspective, it's a definable action, which is something that they can measure and they can plan around. So there's a big difference, and I think that this is something that, you know, the print industry really needs to try to address in order to compete with these mediums which are having success with similar models.
And this is Ernest Jed. Just as we're rolling through this portion of our meeting, if there are any questions you have, just hit a reply to the confirmation that brought you here, or just simply send an email to ernest@powerhour.com. We'll weave in the questions. Many of them we've already incorporated into our program, but we're more than happy to weave those in, or we will field them afterward, okay, after our program. So we just want you to know that part is available, as always, in all of our educational programs. And the piece to, you know, just to clarify, as Jed is walking through talking about definable and measurable results, look, there are sectors and advertising categories, automotive, real estate, apartment housing. There are sectors that everything is tracked. Every phone call from every ad, every click on every newsletter, every form that's filled out on the website. So just recognize that in our advertising space, you have to ask yourself, as you're looking at all that you're doing with your advertisers, how do we measure the ad results? How do we measure return on investment? How do we measure cost per call, cost per lead, cost per sale? Now, those numbers go back, you know, 1988, Jed, in some of my earliest advertising world, man, I had clients pulling out sheet after sheet after sheet with my eyes popping as they were breaking out the numbers backward to me. And it became the art and science now of, well, how was I going to measure that as an advertising professional? And what I want all of you to know as you're listening to us is that the strategies for return on investment, cost per lead, cost per sale, cost per visit, tour, whatever that is, have been around for 25 years. So if you find yourself grappling with that, struggling with that, don't have that kind of data, you're really doing the backstroke. Okay, you're working really, really hard. Then you step in, and that was pre the web. Then you step into the web where everything's definable and measurable. Then you step in, and you've got a Google sitting smack in the middle of it saying, look, just pay for what we do and deliver. And the whole world is shifting. I have a very dear friend who worked for one of the top five ad agencies, and she said, oh, my gosh, for 10 years, all we did was write wonderful copy. We built brand. And this goes back, by the way, Jed, back to the to the 80s as well. We built brands, and we spent money, and we entertained. What is that? Mad Men, right? The Mad Men on TV?
Right.
It was exactly like that. And right. You had a cocktail at 10, and you had a cocktail at lunch, you had a cocktail at 4, and that was the world. We all know that those days are over, but it used to be that way. So as a result of realizing that the advertiser mindset has changed, we, with our advertising team and our sales strategies, our media kits, the results, our renewals, our retention, all of those pieces have got to shift with it. Okay? Comments or thoughts on that, Jed, just to kind of bring that back around the bend?
Yeah, no, I think that's right on. I mean, I think that in many ways, newspapers and magazines are a victim of the success that they've had for so long. And the world has changed a lot, and I think the expectations of advertisers have. It doesn't mean that that the revenue can't be there. It doesn't mean that they're gone forever, or that there's not a way to build a viable business around it. It just means that it's got to be different than it was, even 10 years ago.
Absolutely. So if you have specific questions related to this, please let us know. So circling back to point number two, what else do we want to share, Jed, about consumer habits, advertising revenues, the perspective of advertisers before we go to point number three?
Yeah, I mean, this is a huge topic, and I think that this is something that newspapers and magazines get bogged down in a lot, and that is that the consumption habits of consumers have changed. You know, everyone's walking around with a smartphone. A lot of people have iPads. You know, the product that they're creating is being consumed in a different way than it was, 5 years ago, and certainly than it was 10 years ago. And while that is true, there's no doubt that is occurring, especially with younger segments of the population. That really isn't the whole story, at least from my perspective. Between 2007 and 2012, as we mentioned earlier, newspaper revenues fell by 50%. Okay? During that same period, the total circulation, according to the Newspaper Association of America, of all daily newspapers in the United States fell by 6.5 million, which from about 50 million to about 44 million weekday circulation. That's about 12% drop. So the revenue drop has been much more dramatic than the audience drop. For this reason, I think the consumer habits argument, the idea that people just aren't reading newspapers the way they were, and that's what results in the revenue decline, is false. I don't think it adds up, and I don't think there's much data to support a 50% drop with only a 12% drop in audience. To me, this shows that a big part of the problem is the advertising model, the way in which newspapers and magazines are pricing and selling their product. And when you compare it to the alternatives that are available to advertisers online, from my perspective, that's the biggest reason why print has taken such a hit.
Yeah, and this is Ernest, just to support what Jed is sharing. When I first began hiring advertising salespeople, Jed, back in the 80s through the 90s, and then working with our clients today, at least in the early 90s, late 80s, newspaper ad salespeople, I mean, I remember interviewing them, and it was like, what do you do all day? Well, I sit in the office. And what do you do in the office? Well, the phone rings, and what do you do next? People call and place orders. And that was it. And I'm not talking classified. I'm talking display ads. It was all done inbound, and also the large magazines as well. Advertising sales is about creating an interest, creating a demand. We've got as much marketing to do as our own clients to do. how do we engage with our advertisers? For example, and this was a topic we covered in our Sales Academy 2 weeks ago, Jed, how do we engage on a monthly basis to educate our advertisers? How many of us have a newsletter that goes out to our current advertisers versus our prospective advertisers? How many of us are inviting every 30 days, much like you're here today, every 30 days inviting our clients and our prospects to come listen to an educational program about advertising strategies? How many of us are doing it in person on a quarterly basis, bringing together if geographically that's possible? You know, these are the kinds of things. Do we speak at our association events where our clients and prospects are sitting in the seats? Do we write for those publications if we're working B2B? You know, these are all those things. Are we out across Facebook if we're B2C? And what's our footprint there? Earlier you heard me talk about a footprint for my company of 21 million a year. I'm still in the publication biz. I still understand what the power is of having a voice. How big is your voice? How big is your publication voice? Are you the thought leader in your space and sector? All right. Or do we pause and say, wow, look at those trends. I guess, you know, those trends are inevitable and those will be my challenges. Our work here with you is whatever challenge is in front of us, it's still a pebble. We're playing for the mountain. You want more market share. You want to garnish more advertising from your competitors, and you want specifically the strategies that set you apart. This last week, we were working on 4 of the 16 strategies that make for a powerful sales and media presentation. And one of those points, Jed, we were talking about your USP. What sets you apart? What is your magic? What is your mojo? How does it roll? How does it work? You know, what sets you apart? Does your publication go to an exclusive list? Is only sent and available to a specific association, has exclusive circulation or distribution, or is targeted to exactly the dental offices where you want it to be, the medical offices, hotel rooms. Where is it you want your publications to be so that you can reach the maximum visibility? And when you're done with the print, it starts all over again with your e-newsletter. And then it starts all over with your website. What is your search engine optimization? What are your web counts? Where are your web alliances? How many newsletter subscribers do you have? How do we go double that and then triple that again? Okay, so the strategies we're talking about is how do we take a pebble and keep chasing the mountain in front of us, not make the pebbles in front of us mountains, because then we won't be able to see over them. Jed, back to you on this point.
Sure. I mean, I think just to add to what you just said, you know, we're not really in the business of trying to sell ad space in a print product anymore. I think it really boils down to being in the business of helping businesses make sales, and that can be done in a variety of different ways. But I think that's probably the single biggest shift, is that, you know, there's more merchants no longer expect their relationship with a media outlet to be something that just requires them to, you know, sign a contract every 30 days. I think more often than not, merchants are beginning to expect that their marketing dollars are going to result in more sales. And newspapers and magazines are in a great position to do that. They're in a great position to increase sales for businesses, but they have to take steps to be able to prove it.
Absolutely. And Jetty, even in that example, whether it's newspaper or magazine, if you're working in a specific geographical area, my gosh, how about putting on a coffee or a little light breakfast that you serve once a month, and you bring together your advertisers and your prospective advertisers. One might be all about branding. One might be about copywriting and content. One might be about customer retention. There are so many ways. We do not lack for the kinds of topics that our advertisers want us to deliver. Jed, in my earliest media days, we would bring our leaders together, and we'd have lunch once a month, and they would tell us what those topics were. Some of those topics related to some laws related to fair housing. So we had a fair housing speaker. Some needed to know about crime. We brought crime in. Some wanted to know about retention. We brought retention experts and speakers. And you might say, Ernest, what did any of that have to do with advertising? And Jed, all we did was honor WIFM. WIFM is what? What's in it for me? We put advertisers in the room, and we didn't stand at the front of the room, you know, with a broom saying, does anybody want to buy an ad today? We said, what are the issues that you're most focused on, and how can we help you? And then in the back of the room, they came to us and they bought pages, and they bought so many pages, they came in the bushelfuls because they realized they care about their biz. We cared about their biz, we knew their sector, and we were not doing the, hi, Jed, this is Ernest, you want to buy an ad. Those days have been gone for 2 decades, and if all we're doing today is working from our CRMs and our sales databases and dialing from dollars, and we have no other value adds, that is a lonely road. I don't care what the trends are, up, down, or sideways in our sector, you are not going to have the fun that you could be having. It is so much cooler to say, look, I'm reaching out to you. You're the vice president of your company. Sure, we can talk about my publication, but I got a great breakfast going on next week. Can I invite you? And then you get that personal connection, and then you get that opportunity and all kinds of good things. And if, by the way, your marketplace is not geographically, you know, together and you work, you know, across multiple regions or states or Providence across Canada, then do it by phone. Do it by phone. Same concept. Jed, back to you.
Right. So sort of moving on to the third point a little bit, you know, what can you do to try to outperform some of these lousy projections that I mentioned earlier, you know? I guess my suggestion, my first and foremost suggestion, because I think it's really the foundation from which all other ideas kind of spring from, is measure everything. You know, you should know how your advertisers are doing in your publication. You should know how many sales your publication is really generating. Without this, without knowing how advertisers are doing, you really can't make a change. You really can't understand what is going on and you know how your publication is being most effective. You know, we do this at MediaBids. You know, I just want to use this as an example because it can be done. We track every phone call that our ads generate. In 2011, we tracked about 229,000 phone calls. In 2012, we tracked about 359,000 phone calls. These are from print ads that we place in publications like yours, like the one, you know, like publications that are on this phone call today. And we track these ads and we figure out how they're doing because without it, we really can't compete for the types of advertisers that we most covet, which are, you know, tend to be national brand advertisers that typically have not used print in the recent past. We've been able to take some of these national brand advertisers and turn them back into print advertisers because of this data that we're supplying, which I got to tell you is not rocket science. It's pretty basic stuff. It's, you know, how many people called on a certain phone number on a certain day type stuff. Anyone on this phone call could easily do it. It's just by taking a minimal step, we've been able to take advertisers who have literally not even thought about print in 5 years and, you know, teach them what, you know, a column inch is again and then get them running, you know, running a print ad because the results that they get from print ads tend to be very good. They tend to close much better with print ads than they do with online radio or television ads. The customers that they get from print ads tend to last much longer. They're more considerate customers. They tend to be demographically more well off. Their credit cards have a higher rate of acceptance. In other words, they don't get declined as often as they do from radio and internet. But you can't get to that point until you're able to tell your advertisers how they're doing. And what we're doing can be replicated. It's not, you know, it's the kind of stuff Ernest was talking about that many publications were doing, 15 or 20 years ago. It's just you just have to do it. So that would be, you know, there are other ways. You know, that would be my first and foremost suggestion, is measure the results that your ads are generating. There's other ways of measuring results. I mentioned specifically phone calls, and just to be specific, we do that primarily through unique 800 numbers, which are placed in the ad. 800 numbers are transparent pass-throughs, so it doesn't impact the experience that the caller or the advertiser has in taking that call. All it does is gives us a trackable way of determining where the call came from, how long it lasted, what time of day it was called, stuff like that. There's other ways of tracking as well. URLs, unique URLs are one way. QR codes are becoming more and more popular. We had a call a couple of years ago about QR codes, and they were barely visible. The technology was just starting to arrive. It's here, more and more people have smartphones that are able to use QR codes easily. More and more of those smartphones have the software required to read QR codes preloaded on them. You know, it used to be you had to go through this sort of elaborate process of downloading the QR code software and trying to figure out how to use it. Now it's pretty seamless. That becomes another good alternative. You know, all these things sort of add up to kind of giving you a picture of how your advertisers are doing. And once you have that picture, you can do a lot with it. But I would strongly recommend beginning to track, if not all of your advertisers, as many as you possibly can, and the results that they're receiving.
Yeah, that's an important piece to recognize, that this ability to track and measure was not something we could always do, but it's been around for more than 10 plus or even 15 years, Jed, as you say, and then whether it's QR codes, forms, clicks, there's so many ways. We're not lacking for that. But if you and your company are measuring those, then you know what we're talking about. You know you can sit down with a presentation and say, advertiser A, here's what you invest in. Here are the total number of calls that came in. Here's your cost per call. Based on what you shared with me, this is what your typical sale is. That means that you had total opportunities of blank. Let's take a look at the forms, number of forms. Let's take a look at the number of clicks that came over to your website. Let's walk you through the e-newsletter stats and the data that we have on that. If you're able to give a presentation like that, this should go on for like a half an hour. If you're able to do that, you're in a good spot. If you're not, you positively absolutely need more of the tools that if you don't have them, your competitors surely do, and you don't have everything that you need and that you want to compete. Okay, and that's really the spirit of what we're sharing with you, that you have a lot of ways to creatively and scientifically measure everything that's going on. And the more that you have of those tools, he or she with the most information wins. And we want you to win as advertising leaders and advertising sales professionals. Okay?
You know, just to sort of tie that up, I mean, you know, hopefully it's obvious to everyone on the phone call, but that's what Google does, right? That's what Yahoo does. That's what's happening on mobile. And that's why I believe, and I think there's some data to support that, that's why they're growing. They're growing because the idea that more and more advertisers have, which is, you know, I'm doing marketing in order to get sales as opposed to, you know, brand recognition or get my name out there or whatever it may be. I'm doing marketing. I'm spending $1,000. I expect to make, you know, $1,001. Chances are you're doing better than you think. I talk to a lot of publications, and that's one thing which always surprises me is that you know, many publications are reluctant to track because they're unsure of how well they're really doing. They've never tracked before. And, you know, it's just the nature of the advertising business and sort of the methodology in which print advertising is sold that it really does an advertiser very little good, even if they know that the publication is working for them. It does an advertiser very little good to tell the publication that it's working really well. It compromises their ability to negotiate a price. And I think in a lot of advertisers' minds starts to lock them into a situation which they are not necessarily comfortable with. So it's a much different relationship and a much different scenario when you're the one who's collecting the data, when the publication is the one going to the advertiser and saying, you know what, you have a flower shop, we generated 450 phone calls for you prior to Valentine's Day, you know, we did really well, didn't we? You know, how many sales did you make off of that? You know, you told me prior to buying the ad that, you know, about 40% of the callers who call in end up buying flowers with you. You know, by my calculations, that's, you know, 110 sales, you know, which is great. You know, your ad costs $500. I think that you probably sold about, you know, $1,500 worth of flowers. If you can have that kind of conversation with someone, then your chances are, you know, they're not going anywhere. But let's take the worst case scenario for a second. Let's assume that they do go somewhere. You could sell another flower shop an ad in about, you know, a minute and a half if you start tossing these numbers around, because they're your numbers. You know, they're not the advertiser's numbers. Your publication generated the results. You're the one who can go to other advertisers and say, hey, look, this is how Joe did. You know, and, you know, we think you do just as well. How about buying an ad next time? It's a much different conversation.
Yeah, and just to capsule what Jed is sharing, let's go back to that flower store example, Jed. Not only can you talk to that advertiser and renew it and increase their rental advertising, you know, the rates for their advertising, but then you can go to 10 other flower shops and say, let us tell you what we know flower shops are capable of. Let us share with you the data in the first versus second versus third quarter. Let us share with you this year versus last year versus the prior year. Let us share with you the on average number of calls that come in. Let us share with you what we know about what percent of those do convert. Let us share with you what, you know, we know about the average ticket price of flowers that are bought, and the person's going, oh my God, no one's ever called me or come into my flower shop and talked to me like that. This is amazing. I trust you implicitly. You understand our model, and you understand exactly what it is that we're trying to do.
Right.
And so the bottom line in this is that we're talking their language, we understand their jargon in every one of the categories. So if your publication is all about flowers and florists, then that's beautiful. But if you have flower shops and automotives and storage facilities, each of those have their own unique pitter-patter, each
right.
of them. So a restaurant who might get 600 calls, you know, versus a luxury automobile dealer that may only get 40 calls, but they're playing for different things. Restaurants are playing for, especially a takeout restaurant, it may be playing for a $30 transaction. Luxury car might be selling $200,000 Ferraris. So you have to know the category. You have to know what the expectations are. And then, of course, we have the seasonality that goes as well.
Right. And when you get into this a little bit, what you will find is that your publication is not going to be all things to all advertisers. We haven't come across a single one who is. And what I mean by that is that there are going to be some advertisers that do well, and there's going to be some advertisers that don't. And that's okay, you know. It doesn't mean that you can't get those advertisers. It just may mean that, you know, from my perspective, you know, I would suggest that maybe, you know, the advertisers that are not performing as well should pay less. You know, that to me is a lot more logical reason to charge an advertiser less than some of the discounts which I see for things like, you know, odd numbers of frequency or whatever it may be. I mean, there's, you know, every publication has a way for an advertiser to get a discount. I would say, you know, trying to attract a new sector and a sector which traditionally has not performed well in a publication, you know, is something worth exploring through changes in pricing.
Well, and let's just, you know, pause on this, and then we'll finish up our program, and always respectful of your busy day, and we'll wrap up right here at the top of the hour. But also recognize that, let's not skip over, Jed, right, you know, the quality of the content as well.
Right.
That there are sometimes, you know, four flower shops side by side by side, and one, in fact, is pulling 80 calls a month, or 40 clicks on the website, or 20 forms are being filled out, and somebody else is getting 10% of that. They're getting 8
right.
calls. This is now where we put on our creative hat, our content hat, and we go side by side and say, what's the difference between these 4 ads? Because you've got the statistical data, now you can be going out to the flower shops that are not doing as well and making specific recommendations to them. So you can go out and say, hey, Tim, with your flower shop, we've been looking at your numbers, and we're pleased with what we see, but we want even more. But what you're missing in your ad are these 3 things. And Tim says, you know what, thank you very much, but I'm not changing it. Okay, cool, but remember, I came to you to talk to you about ways to improve your ad. Or the opposite. You go to Mary, and Mary says, are you kidding? You're the expert. Ernest, Jed, you guys are the experts. What do I need to do to change it? I want 80 calls. 40 is good, 60 would be better, but 80 would be fantastic. What do you recommend? Great, Mary, we're recommending these 2 changes on your ad. So you see, this is, again, the art and science of advertising. On one side, our distribution and circulation pipe. On the other side, our audience with the right message to the right readers. And then in the middle is what? The creative ads, the advertising that pulls that reader in, that brings them in, that generates the results. And if you're tracking and measuring like we're talking about today, then you've got the statistical information that will help you sell more and renew more, have more fun. And that's the key piece. All right? All right. Listen, this is the beginning of our new year. It is always a pleasure working together with all of you. Your topics, your questions inspire us. Please let us know the key areas that you would like us to cover during the course of this year. We look for everything from selling strategies, marketing, branding, business, operational, economic trends, anything that you would like to have us cover or include, please let us know. Jed and myself come off of these meetings. We summarize the questions. We take a look at the feedback that was shared with us during the course of our program. And as a result of that, it inspires us. So let us know what you're thinking about. Keep us on the pulse of the trends of what you're observing. And there is no question that's too easy and no question that's too hard. So please let us know. Okay? Jed, how about some closing words here?
Yep. Thanks very much, everyone, for joining us. You know, this was a huge topic, and I think we'll probably come back to these themes, you know, later in the year, in various forms. It was really sort of intended to kind of give you an overview of where the industry as a whole was headed, and some ideas for trying to change the trend in your part of the world. Again, thanks everyone joining us. Thanks, Ernest, for your ongoing expertise with these with all things print related, and look forward to talking again.
Thank you, Jed. I really appreciate it. For those of you that would like to learn more about working with MediaBids, reach out to Jed. Surf their site. They will help you drive revenue, and they know lots and lots. For those of you that would like more specific strategies every single week about the strategies that will help you sell more, come join our Power Hour Sales Academy. There is an exclusive, meaning there's only one publication or advertising medium per city, per category. So once that's reserved, that's yours exclusively. Every Thursday, you will have an audio sales newsletter, about 15 minutes. And then every Tuesday at 2 o'clock Eastern, we meet for open mic. And open mic is different than what you're experiencing here. It means we're fielding your questions live. No question is too easy. No question is too hard. You'll meet Craig, who's our VP of Sales and Training. And the two of us combine more than 50 years helping advertising sales teams win and doing it ourselves. So there's lots that we'd love to share with you. Come join us, and we'd love to have you on board. Jed, always a pleasure. Look forward to our upcoming programs throughout the course of this year, and thank you so much for the wonderful support of you and those on your MediaBids team, okay?
All right, thanks very much, Ernest.
All right, everybody, take care.
Bye.
All right.